and amen. So guys, if one would examine the word faith, there's many different interpretations, there are many different examples, definitions, etc., that you're going to hear. If you were to just go through the street and start asking people, define for me faith, tell me what faith means to you. What do you, when you hear the word faith, what do you think about? Well, the dictionary defines faith as the complete trust or confidence in someone or something. So that's the dictionary definition of it. The Bible describes faith. It doesn't necessarily define it. I know that's kind of been an argument going back and forth. But the Bible describes faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, saying, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a great description of faith. Some in our society would refer to faith as a system of belief, stating that there are a multiplicity of faiths, plural, if you will, in the world today, which is a great misinterpretation. It's a misinterpretation of the word faith in and of itself. I mean, faith is a word, guys. There's only one belief in the world today which does not require works of some sort for salvation, and that's biblical Christianity, okay? Biblical Christianity tonight is the only belief system that brings eternal salvation in and of us, or without in and of yourself at all. You know, every other religion in the world today, there's a work element associated with it, every single one of them without fail. So this evening, I want to speak to you about the simplicity of faith and really and truly what I've titled, this neat little title, called Faith in a Nutshell. Faith in a Nutshell, if you will. Now, guys, the phrase in a nutshell is an idiom. Its roots go all the way back to Greece nearly 2,000 years ago. And the usage of this phrase was first seen in AD 77 in a work called A Natural History by Pliny the Elder. And he said this, Cicero had recorded that the poem of Homer called the Iliad, written on parchment, was enclosed within a nutshell, meaning that Homer's writing was, you know, so full but so small, it was so great in words but so small in letters that it could fit in a nutshell. The phrase itself is used briefly to explain something which is of great length, depth, hence natural history. So without all the confusion, without a multiple steps, without major works or labor or outright confusion, the phrase in a nutshell means it's just a simple explanation of something that is large and deep. So tonight, guys, without any confusion, without any, you know, highfalutin, perplexing words or definitions or multiple, you know, illustrations or anything along that line, any parabolic teaching tonight, I want us to look at the simplicity. I want us to look at faith in a nutshell. When we look at our verse today, when we look here in Psalm 27, verse 1, we find that David's faith was greater than his fear. And that is where we need to get to in our life. David's faith is greater than his fear. I thought about this, how timely it was for me to preach on this today. You know, we've had a bit of car trouble, multiple car trouble here in the past week or so. And so there's been some quite heavy financial burdens and that's been placed on us. And I thought to myself, I thought, my soul, here comes another one. Man, it's going to hit us here. And then, you know, in preparation for our trip this summer, you know, and getting those things. And then we're dealing with situations with the houses back in the States and then trying to settle things here. Then we're working also. It's a great expense for the for filing for citizenship and whatnot. And so there's a lot. It's a big burden, guys. It's a financial burden, and I understand that. I'm not saying that out here public tonight for you to go, oh, you know, poor BJ, poor. I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying that I believe it was timely for the Lord to use this verse today, because I sat there and I thought, my soul, here's another bill. This is another chunk. This is another hit. But then I had to stop and look back over the last X amount of years, over the last several decades, and see how God is taking care of us every step of the way. And I have to fully trust and have faith tonight that God's going to do the same thing. What is faith in a nutshell? What is it? It has to be greater than our fear. And that's what we find in this verse of Psalm 27, that David's faith was greater than his fear. Now, his faith was greater than his fear of the future. His faith was greater than the fear of his foes. His faith was greater than his own personal failings. And we need to think about that in our own life today. None of us are perfect. We understand that. We're not going to have a perfect future in this life here. We understand that. But is your faith tonight, in a nutshell, is your faith greater than your fear of all of those things, greater than your failures, greater than your foes. Is your faith greater than those things? David believed that God would go before him, and this filled him with confidence. It filled him with courage. And one reason, guys, this is what I want you to, we're going to see to start off with tonight. One reason David believed God would go before him was because David was walking in the right path. He was walking in the right path. He says, "The Lord is my light and salvation." Guys, there is but one way to salvation, hands down. And this is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to think about it on these terms tonight when we begin to look at walking on the right path. We know where to step. You know why we know where to step and walking on the right path? Is because the Lord is showing us that next step. The light of the Lord is revealing where we need to go next. Guys, we are in this world today. If we were in this world without the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, guys, we would be in a world without hope altogether. Now, I look at people struggling in this life. I look at people in this world in this life. I look at people and how they live, and they don't know Jesus Christ. They don't care to know Jesus Christ. And I wonder to myself, when they see the tragedies of this life, the tragedies of this world, the darkness of this world, and they put all of their faith, their confidence, their dependence, their trust in what they see every single day, how in the world do they even make it through? How in the world do they make it through? Most of them, all fairness, most of them are going to be numb from what they're putting in their bodies and putting in their mind. Most of them are deluded into some other idea of what's going on in the world today that has nothing to do with faith. It's just something temporary to get them through, a temporary fix to get them through the moments that they're dealing with. Guys, it's the light of the glorious gospel that entered into us, that showed us the way of salvation. David's faith was greater than his fear, because he was on the right path. I want you to go back in your mind tonight. Go back to when you first got saved. Go back to that moment. Now, for some of you, that's many, 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 many years ago. For others, it may just be a few years ago, or a month, or a week, or 2 weeks, or whatever. But the truth of the matter is, when you were saved, the moment you got saved, okay, I'm talking about that moment. I'm not talking about the week and the month later on. On the moment that you got saved, you knew two things. Two things. You knew that you were a sinner in need of a Savior. Otherwise, what have you been saved from? Now, for those people out there who say that they've never realized they were a sinner in need of a Savior, what were you being saved from? If you're not being saved from something, you're not saved. Amen, preacher? We need to understand that tonight. You knew two things, one of which is this: you were a sinner in need of a Savior. And the other one was this: at the end of your life, when your heart beats the last time, when you take your last breath, when you close your eyes on this side, you're going to heaven. Now, let me say this to you tonight. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You knew two things when you got saved. The moment you got saved, you knew you were a sinner in need of salvation, and you knew when you died you were going to heaven. I don't know about you guys. Look, I love learning. I love studying the Bible. I love dispensational truths. I eat that stuff up. I absolutely love it. But I can tell you this, there is something beautiful about the simplicity of knowing those two things. I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, and when I die, I'm going to heaven. Amen? There's something beautiful about that. You see, it was the light of this glorious gospel that revealed an immediate present state of yourself as well as an undetermined time to a destination. That's what happened when you got saved. The light of the glorious gospel revealed an immediate present state, you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and an undetermined time of your destination, when you're going to go to heaven. In other words, you don't know when you're going to heaven, but you know for sure, for an absolute, positively fact tonight, that when you die, you're going to go there. Now, between those two moments in our life, between that moment when you knew that you were a sinner in need of a Savior, and the time that you arrive at heaven's gates, we all have a life to live. We have a path to walk. And such a path, many times, can be filled with all kinds of uncertainties. When we enter into a realm of uncertainty, guess what is produced? Fear. You know, fear is more associated with what you know not than that which you do know. Okay? You know, I preached years back, I remember probably, oh, good night, 5-6 years ago here, I preached a message on fear. And what I mentioned was that people typically are not afraid of what they see, but rather you're afraid of what may be there, okay? I can remember when the kids were little and we'd make them go out to the out to the barn or out to the shop or something, either turn the lights off or do some kind of task. And I would watch them, especially this one, man. Buddy, I tell you what, he would run as fast as he looked like Walter Payton. Run. He was, Usain Bolt coming back from that shop to get back in that house, man. And I mean, because, you know, it was dark out there and you didn't know what's inside the darkness. I mean, you know, he was uncertain, man. But he knew one thing. If I get to that house, I'm going to be safe. And, buddy, he made a wake inside the gravel getting back. Now, uncertainties produce fear. Typically, we're afraid of what may be in the dark, not what's there. But our light, the light of salvation, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, reveals our steps in this life. It's not always a map. I wish he would give us a map. Don't you wish he'd give us a map? I can remember surrendering to missions and surrendering to come over and plant churches here in the United Kingdom. I remember the fear that set into me. And it was John chapter 14 that put my heart to ease 3 weeks prior. It's completely pulling the pin, leaving my job, stepping down from the pastorate and going out by faith with no income whatsoever. With a family of six of us in our family. I remember that. I remember the moment that it set in. Denise was at a ladies' retreat, and I was in a house over there where a Bible, King James Bible, was sat on the nightstand, and I rolled out of that bed about 1 o'clock in the morning. I opened it up to John 14. A great preacher had just preached a message on that while we were in the States at that time, and on John chapter 14, and I sat there and I wept for an entire hour over John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, right? Let not your heart be troubled. Jesus Christ said, fear produces uncertainties, but it is the light and salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ that reveals our steps. It's not always a map, but he does reveal 1, 2, maybe 3 steps at a time. And this is when we're walking in this beautiful light of the faith of God, the faith that he's going to provide what we need in this life. This is when we have that spiritual insight to take the next step that the Lord has provided and along his path. And then we wait for the next step, and we wait for the next step, and we wait for the next one. We don't take the step unless it's revealed. There is no blind leap of faith. There is no jumping out into the darkness and hoping for the best. The Lord reveals to us what we need to do. Yes, we have to take the steps. Yes, there's a responsibility on our side. The Lord shows it to us. He provides the path. We just simply need to be obedient to go in that direction. You know how we're obedient going in that direction? It starts with faith. David's faith was greater than his fears. David's faith was greater than his failings. David's faith was greater than his foes because he was on the right path with God. So David's faith was there. He's on the right path. Simple tonight. Simple truth about faith. But what about the times of uncertainty in your life? Now, what do you do then? What do you do in the days of fear? Maybe you're on the right path and you're just waiting for that next step to be revealed by God. Where do we lie? Where does our trust, where does the resiliency come in within that faith that God has given us? Well, the Lord is not only our light and salvation, guys, but you know what? The Lord's our power as well. He's our power. David's faith was greater than his fear because he was on the right path. But within that right path, we need to understand where our power comes from. It does not come from ourselves. In verse 1, it says, whom shall I fear, David says. He says, the Lord is the strength of my life, and of whom shall I be afraid? I like that, man. Boy, I like that verse. Why should I be fearful of anyone or anything in this world today? Because God's my strength. I'm not trusting in my strength or my abilities. You shouldn't trust in yours either. The enemy of our soul seeks to paralyze us with fear. He desires to sift us as wheat, to pick through our life and highlighting every wrong turn, every ill decision that we've made to produce fear in our life, which will render us paralyzed. That's what he wants to do. It's what he's trying to do every day. But here's the difference. We have the Lord. Guys, faith is simple. Faith is simple tonight. We have the Lord. Thus, we have faith in the same sense to exercise his power in our life. Circumstances and situations enter into our life, and you know what they attack? They attack our rationality. We begin to think irrationally. We begin to think in ways that are unseemly. We begin to think in ways that doesn't even line up with the Bible. It doesn't even line up with what fear really is, what faith really is, and we allow and enable fear to come in and paralyze us as believers. But to overcome those things, we must take our eyes off the circumstances and place them firmly on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's our power. He's our power. Exercising the faith that he has given us. Our Savior steps in, dispelling the darkness, clouding our perspective through fear, through doubt, through guilt, through insignificance, or through bonds and a litany of other things. And it's through him that we have the power. Thus, we become overcomers. Why? Because he's overcome the world. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, he says, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. I got a message that I want to preach here in a couple weeks' time and really trying to work the thing out here in the past couple of weeks, just about being good. You know, sometimes, guys, you just got to be good. Amen. Denise and I were on the way over, walking over to church today, and we were talking about a certain subject and how certain people can't stand to be spoken to harshly. Now, I don't like being spoken to harshly. Nobody likes that. But, you know, I mean, I never had an issue when a coach would call me every name in the book. I'm convinced that some of my coaches, especially down in Mississippi, made up words to call me, amen? I was just raised up that if it's an authority figure and they told me to do something, you know what? I did it. That's the way I was raised. We got a generation of people today that just simply cannot do good when somebody else is not doing good. And that's why they're failing. That's why they're failures. That guy looked at me wrong. Oh, he said this to me. Man, so what? Get over yourself and become an overcomer. Overcome evil. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with just doing good, man. It's that simple tonight. Faith in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ over our fears tonight is as simple as being good. You don't have to fall prey to evil and wicked actions of others. You don't have to do it. You don't have to allow them to control you in your life. You don't have to. You can today overcome the evil in this world by good. Not great, not marvelous, not wonderful, not spectacular, not all the lights and the bells and the sounds, just by being good. Be it your situation, your circumstances, you can overcome evil with good today. You say, well, how can I do that? Paul said this, I mentioned this Sunday. Nay, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who's that again? That's our power, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the same one that David said, whom shall I fear? He said, the Lord is my strength and of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Why? David's saying, I'm more than a conqueror. David was a great warrior. David was a mighty warrior. I mean, he killed his 10,000s, amen, when Saul had killed his thousands. Why? Because of his faith. The word conqueror used there in the New Testament, it's used and it's very specific. In biblical days where there was no word greater than the word conqueror. For the warrior, this was the highest level of achievement possible. There was no other word to describe victory in the battle to those who won than giving them the title of conqueror. There was not a greater word than that. And yet Paul says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What does that tell us tonight? That tells us that we're on the right path with our faith. We have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life to overcome evil in this world. How do we overcome evil? You overcome it with good. Why? Because we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. It is that simple tonight. It is not very complex. This is not high science. It's not an accolade to ourselves, but rather a proclamation to whom all power comes from. The power is not in of ourselves, but rather in the one who saved us. If we're on his path, we have his power to proclaim the victory and overcome the evil of our day. Now, guys, if you get off Christ's path, that doesn't mean you lose salvation. But you got to be very weary, you're going to question. If you're not living for the Lord, it's really, you lose that confidence that his power is going to be with you. Now, it's true, he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And it's true, you cannot lose your salvation. But I can tell you this, you step out from underneath the protection of his wings tonight and you begin to live like the devil, then the devil's going to have a heyday with you, amen. You can't make wicked choices in this life and not have some type of consequence with them, hands down. But you got to tap into the power, boy. Tap into the power. I don't know about you guys. We have all the power in all of creation today at our fingertips. And all we got to do is tap into it. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, he says, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have this confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you, and the Lord direct you, your hearts, into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." Guys, the power's there, and it's yours for the taking. It's yours for the choosing, man. God faithfully strengthens and protects those who place their faith in him. Remember, guys, the enemy is on a short leash. I think we need to remember that tonight. I mean, we look around and we see what's on the news, and we allow circumstances, we allow the media, we allow the really and truly the tragic lies of those who know not the Lord Jesus Christ. We allow it to affect us and infect us. We do. And rightly so. I understand that, because you love these people. But at the end of the day, my friend, the devil's on a short leash. He's only going to do what God allows him to do. Amen? His henchmen, there's the demonic workings in this world, they're on his short leash. They're only going to be done, or they're only going to do what the Lord allows them to do. And you know what? Our flesh is only going to do what we allow it to do. That's right. Tap into that power up there. Let the Lord fight your battles. David said, "Who shall I fear?" He said, "The Lord is the strength of my life. I'm not going to be afraid. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my strength." God faithfully strengthens and protects those who place their faith in him. And we need to remember that today. Remember that enemy, again, is only going to do what the Lord's going to allow him to do. And his days of wreaking havoc on this earth are numbered. Man, when we die, ours is just beginning. You are an overcomer. Guys, you're on the winning team. I do believe in all of my heart tonight that it is high time for Christians, those who name the name of Christ, to start winning living like a winner. I think it is high time for those that name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to start living like they're winning. Let me say that to you again. It's high time for us to start living like we're winning and not like we're losing. Not like it's the fourth quarter and the time's about to run out and we're down 17 points. Beloved, faith in a nutshell is therefore a protective shield from the wicked one. It is a barrier for our emotional state. It is a covering to lean on, and it is there to enable us to step out from underneath doubt, fear, dismay, providing us what we desire the most. And let's be honest with one another. You know what we desire? We desire peace. We desire peace. We spoke about this a bit this morning, about the multiplication of how your grace and peace is multiplied in our life as believers. And we see the formula that God has given us to apply that in our life. But the faith that we have, even in dark times, can provide a peace in this life, a peace which passeth all understanding, that the world can sit back and go, I just don't get it. I don't see how that peace is there. We all remember the great prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. Jeremiah had studied and prayed over King David's Psalms and King David's writings, and he knew his history backwards and forwards. When Israel turned their back against God, Jeremiah wept and he pled for the nation to turn once again to the Lord God Almighty. His message was that of repentance. That's all he asked them to do. Repent, turn toward God, turn away from yourselves, turn away from sin, turn away from the seduction of this world. Just turn back to God. You know, our world today measures success in a different way than the Bible does, doesn't it? You know, to the average person that came into this church and looked around and saw a handful of people, they wouldn't think of success at all, would they? The world looks at it differently. I mean, most people, most common measurement of success is defined as achieving goals, acquiring wealth, prestige, favor, or power. Successful people we look at today enjoy the good life, that they're financially and emotionally secure, they're surrounded by admirers and enjoying the fruits of their labor. That's how the world measures success. They're leaders, opinion makers, trendsetters, if you will. What are they called today? Influencers. People will emulate their actions. They'll dress like them. They'll speak like them. They'll walk like them. They'll talk like them. They'll mimic their very demeanor. According to these standards, if we were to look at Jeremiah's ministry and look at what he did and quote-unquote achieved or didn't, we would say to Jeremiah that he is an utter failure. He preached to Israel as a united nation, and he preached to Judah, the southern kingdom, for over 40 years until the first siege by the Babylonian Empire took Israel into captivity. He pled for them to do right, and it fell on deaf ears. Jeremiah underwent severe deprivation. He was thrown into prison. He was thrown into a cistern. He was taken to Egypt against his own will. He was rejected by his friends, his neighbors, his family. He was rejected by false prophets. He was rejected by kings. He was generally rejected by everyone. I don't see one convert in the ministry of Jeremiah during his lifetime. Yet for 40 years, he wept for the souls of the men, women, and children of Israel and Judah. Not too successful according to the world standards, now is it? Yet in the eyes of God, Jeremiah was a raging success. Jeremiah was a winner. Jeremiah was a victor. Jeremiah was an overcomer. Jeremiah was a conqueror. One of the most successful people in the history of mankind, according to God. I mean, success is measured by God when it involves obedience. Success is measured by God when it involves faithfulness, regardless of personal cost or opposition, and regardless of outcome. Success in God's eyes is faithfulness and obedience. It was Jeremiah's faith which sustained him. I mean, you want to stop and you want to think, well, then how in the world do you know that God looked at him like that? I mean, through all the things that Jeremiah experienced, through sadness and pain, this is what he wrote. He said, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be a tree as a tree planted by the waters and that spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. Shall not be careful to the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." Beloved, peace is not always sunshine and rainbows. Peace is not always comfort and convenience. Peace is measured by the eyes of God through faith and obedience, by being on the right path, by tapping into that power, that peace will be present in your life. It's only going to come by faith, and that is faith in a nutshell tonight. Back to Jeremiah real quick, and then we'll be done this evening. You sit there and you say, how in the world do you know that God looked at Jeremiah and saw him as being successful, other than the fact that he has two books in the Bible? We understand that. But you remember when Jesus Christ showed up, and Jesus Christ says, who do the people say that I am? And the disciples looked at him and said, well, some of them say that you're Isaiah. Others say that you are Jeremias. In one of the other gospels, it says Jeremy. And then it's just one of the other prophets. You see, man, Jeremiah was such a great man of God, such a diligent and obedient, faithful man of God, that the Lord Jesus Christ was mistaken for him. You say, well, that's hundreds and thousands of years before. I understand that. But there was a group of people that said, you know, that's got to be Jeremiah. That's got to be the spirit of Jeremiah that's come back in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. What a testimony Jesus had. What a testimony Jeremiah had for him to be likened unto our Savior. Beloved, a life of faith is firmly rooted in God. It cannot be shaken in the midst of the storms of life. When difficult times come, we do not need to fear, because God will replenish us with his strength. Even in seasons of barrenness, we need to trust and understand that our lives will be fruitful. Why? Well, because whom shall we fear? The Lord is our strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Trying to live a life in our own strength is going to create a desert wasteland. If we rest on our own self-sufficiency, if we rest on our own abilities, we're going to be constantly tossed to and fro by every changing wind in this crazy world, guys. That's just the way it is. But apart from God, there is no peace. But a vibrant life is one that's found abiding in Christ, on the right path, trusting in him, tapping into his power, having peace in the present day. So guys, to understand faith in a nutshell this evening, you have to ask yourself this. Is your heart well watered by the Word of God? Is your life bearing fruit? Because faith is simple. It may not be easy all the time, but faith in a nutshell is very simple. And that's how David lived. David's faith was greater than his fear, greater than his failures, and greater than his foes, because he was on the right path with God. He tapped into the power, therefore peace rested in him. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the time to be together this evening. I pray tonight that you would take your simple message, your simple word tonight, apply it into our hearts. And Lord, no matter what may come into our life and into our days, Father, I pray that you please would help us tap into that power. Help us trust in you each step of the way. Help us look to your word, Father, to shine and provide that light on the path of our life that you've given us here on this earth. I pray that you'd let us live for you, Lord. Let us have faith in you, trust in you. Lord God, I ask you tonight to please lead, guide, and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. And at the end of the day, Lord, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in all things said and done. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen and amen.